D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. Dave Hits and Tomas, they doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z, know what popping in the field.
What? Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Man, we love him too. Welcome another week, another edition, the BS and Beer podcast crew here live at the SEC Sports Pub. With me as usual, Heath Elsonson to my right, to my left, Tomas Mauricio. You guys sit back, relax.
He pointed in the right direction.
For once.
Yeah, I know.
He actually knows us, I guess.
Yeah.
Sit back, relax.
Grab
a drink or something.
We'll
no, not you guys. You guys need to pay attention to what's going on.
No.
All right. So, you know, I think as has been in the off season, I come up with some interesting, witty news or story or whatever. So I had one, and I thought it was pretty good, but then you sent me that what was it? Instagram?
What'd you send me?
Yeah. Yes.
I sent you all today.
So maybe we have to pick. I don't know how much news we have to talk about, so maybe we don't have to pick. But to start out, we either talk about the guy who basically craps his pants on the plane and has to have it evacuated, or we talk about the guy in Seattle. They call the police out to his house because he's about to commit suicide by dousing himself with fire. Has a lighter in hand. But the police are like, no, I got a taser here, buddy. Let me do it for you. So it's just a matter of which one y'all want to go with first. So,
oh, man.
I tell you what. So
that's a tough choice.
Now, it gets a little bit more interesting. So I'm just going to finish on with that. So the police are called out. The guy doused himself with gasoline, has a lighter, step back. And I don't even know. Like, you ever notice how, like, the news, man barricades himself in his house. You know, no hostage. No, like 15 cops, SWAT team.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you serious? You don't even have a hostage. He barricades. That sounds like me every night when I get off of work. I come home, turn on the TV, lock the door. Romero barricades himself in the house. But this guy's dousing himself with gasoline, telling the cops, get away. He has a lighter.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not going to tell you what happens. Except for the cops pull out the taser.
I'm a cold-hearted SOB. So
that's what I heard.
You know where
you're
going to go with me.
Well, let me just say, you figure how
I have a Zippo here. It might be better than the Bic.
Yeah.
two cops admitted into to the hospital for smoke inhalation. Now you figure out where the story goes from there, right?
Oh my God.
Drop the Bic. I have my taser, and it's over there. You know, he's like. I don't know, man.
That's awesome.
Good thinking. Yeah. Like, no, sir. We'll take care of this for you. No worries. Don't need that lighter.
Oh.
To serve and protect.
There you go.
All right. So, look, today, I mean, how far do we have left? Camp, the rookies report on 19th? The 19th?
That's 2 days.
2 days. Yeah. So, our next podcast we'll hopefully have, because I don't know if it's open to the public, closed to the public. But we'll have some real Saints practice news to talk about.
The 19th of the rookies, the 26th of the vets.
Yes, and then so I think that would be two shows. I just realized something. Outside of the new promo that I put up, this is our 100th show. We should be celebrating.
Hey,
Where's the free alcohol?
I have the bourbon.
The dancing girls?
I have the bourbon. We can start a party. I mean, we have enough makeshift. We can start a party.
There we go.
Yeah, so. All right, so Little Dice sends me
an
email.
Wait, this is what we do. Okay. Let's pick a word, and every time we say that word, our listeners have to take a shot.
To drink. Now, I realize it's a podcast, and while it's 7:50 Eastern time, they might be at work tomorrow listening to it. They're going to be like, they said to do it.
There you go.
That's right.
It's all
just
good.
Just tell your boss.
There you go.
We got it.
The boss, the BS and Beer podcast.
Every time we say, wooden India.
That's a good one. I don't know how much room there is.
The
for
drinking
that.
Word is
Okay, I was just gonna say that because I just got some criticism because too much. So I'm like, man, somebody's gonna get smammered if they go when Romero does then it's time to drink.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. So, or we could just keep playing that the airplane, the BS and Beer Airlines. Welcome to BS and Beer Airlines. Dell. Oh, that's his. I don't know if he wants the world to know his real name.
Little Dice.
I didn't say Dell. Y'all forget I said that. He said, by position, where did the Saints improve from last year? And then he gives his opinion. So I think that right there could probably go almost a whole show. But we also have some stuff. What is it? Pro Football Weekly puts out NFC South standings, and they had the Saints ranked like 19th.
Yeah. I think they had I don't remember who it was, but yeah, it.
Yep, PFT.
19th overall.
PFT,
fourth in their division.
Right. So, I mean, is that fair? Is it realistic? we'll have to ask ourselves those questions. And then I didn't open the article, but by the time we talk about it, I will have at least the Saints are the number 50th ranked sports franchise in the world, I guess, which I guess they dropped quite a bit. Did they drop or did other teams ascend above them?
I think other teams ascended above them. And it's not – was it 50? I thought it was 48.
I saw 50 just moments ago.
Okay.
Moments ago.
They're dropping like a rock.
Dropping. Yeah, they're dropping right now. They're dropping as we speak.
Yeah, 52 probably right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, so.
I think other teams have ascended, but, 3-7-9 seasons in a row, you might drop.
You drop. All right.
So,
well,
I don't know.
I'll tell you what. Let's get
worth millions.
No, I don't think.
Oh, is it a value thing?
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
Who's the best? Yeah. Who's got the most money value on the market?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get this though.
It's no shotted?
Okay. Wait, drink. Everybody drink. Let's get this show started.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right, so Forbes ranks the Saints 50 out of all sporting clubs across the world.
Yeah.
Like, what was top five were like soccer teams.
Yeah.
Man, it's exploded recently.
Yeah.
But fret not. Don't worry. Tom Benson, the team is worth $1.75 billion.
Yeah.
Now, how long has Tom Benson owned the team? Since
that's what I'm trying to think.
I mean, I was in high school.
In the 80s, huh?
Yeah, it was the 80s.
85, maybe?
I wonder what kind of.
He paid like $72 million.
I wonder what kind of loan he had on it. Like, is it paid off now? Like your house. You know what I'm saying? Like, can you? Yeah. They always talking about.
I don't know that he ever had like a 30-year mortgage on.
That's what I was thinking. It was a 30-year fix. You know, did it include the PMI?
Yeah. I think it's been paid off for a while,
for a long time.
And the other thing is like people always like, oh man, I wish I owned the Saints. And then like, can you imagine that call from the bank? Hey, Dave, man. Your payment's due this month, man. It's $37 million. So I'll be like, $37 million? Yeah. I ain't got it, bro. I got to be honest with you. I could put a little something on it, but I ain't got the whole thing, you know.
You got to call one of your NBA buddies. Yeah, good. Help you cover that.
I could put a little bit on my credit card. You know, I got a little
better
cash.
Go to Check Advance.
Yeah, Check Advance. Get something on it. So
payday loan.
All right, payday loans. So, I mean, I can already tell this is going to be a struggle. We love you guys. Thank you for tuning in and listening to us. But I'm sitting here looking, what am I going to talk about? I just got finished talking about the one thing. Tomas didn't even harp in on it. So that saved us like 15 minutes of recording time.
Got nothing to say about it.
That's what I'm saying. I better find something. You got something to say about it.
We're in big trouble here.
All right. Well, what is it? Let's hear about it.
Well, like I said to you during the earlier pre-production meeting that we had, a lot of places have been ranking the Saints. Well, they've been ranking the NFC South. with the Saints being the bottom of the line. A lot of people talking about how it didn't make any difference on the defense, how they have backup players still. They don't have any really star players. So I wanted to talk about it. I wanted to address
all
that.
Right. I can see this show might not – it might be void of a lot of depth, but I can see some debate already. I can already see it. So you want to go defense first or offense?
Well, I'm talking about defense because that seems to be where everyone is making their point or trying to make their point. Mm-hmm. We can do offense as well, but I wanted to start with the defense because people are saying, okay, here are the players. You know, they went team by team in the NFC South. And said, so, you know, here are the players that Atlanta picked up. Well, you know, these players are fantastic. You know, here are the players that Carolina picked up. Oh, man, these players are fantastic. Here are the players that Tampa Bay picked up. Oh, outstanding. Here are the players the Saints picked up. Eh, a bunch of washed up, no good people. You know.
I don't know. So how much of this is your interpretation? Because I've had conversations with you, Tomas, and when I'm on the other side of your opinion, that's how I,
like, okay. The interviews were with, on several of the issues of the players, were with people who write about the team in a particular area. So, like, Triplett was the guy that they kept interviewing because he's now with ESPN. You should know him. He's your buddy now because you're an ESPN guy. So, so they, you know, the instead of asking just, okay, what do you think about your team? Every one of these people like, yeah, our team's going to be great, and the Saints suck. Every one of them. I mean, you go down the line. And even Triplett, well, yeah, you know, the Saints suck. You know what? I'm like, dude, really? Are you serious? I mean, you can read it for yourself. It's online. You can find it anyway. You know, there's several places that have it. You know, I'm sure the Times Picayune probably has it as well. You know? So there you go. I insult everybody.
Yeah, I know.
I don't hold back. See, I'm still in the mode from my own show. So, you know, I still got that, you know.
What was it? What'd you call yourself? Or the lady call you today?
Oh, the cold-hearted
SOB.
Yeah.
Cold-hearted SOB. Let me write that down. Yeah. I'm the cold-hearted SOB. I am the cynical, jaded, sexist, cold-hearted SOB.
Okay, so
and I'm
for
proud
those
of all of my monikers.
For those who are listening and don't realize it, Tomas has a general talk show here Monday through Friday from what, noon to 3?
Noon to 3.
What station is that?
1300.
Oh, tell them how they can listen to it. Oh, God, that's it. It took me a second. Okay, so like I'm trying to catch up with them. But
1230 a.m.
Yeah, well established, the longest running
It's the longest running commentary political show in the state of Kentucky.
And you can hear the arrogance, and he says political, you're like, no, I know why. So, anyway. So he has his show, and people call in and tell him all kind of nasty stuff. So here you go.
They email me. They call. Yeah,
just to keep everybody out there up to date on what he's talking
about. And I enjoy hearing from the people. I forgot to turn my phone off. And I enjoy hearing from the people because you know, it keeps me grounded. You know. Now, of course, I'm thankful to Dave because some people said that I get a lot of control. So Dave put a special promo just for me. And we use it on this show as well.
Oh, yeah.
Tomas's rant.
Now I'm on ESPN. Now I'm producing parts of your show there
you
with
go.
The
See,
Tomas
I
rant.
It.
That was, that, listen, you that set that up, though. That was hilarious. Yeah, that was hilarious.
Pretty good.
Even if I say so myself, I mean, that was one of the funniest things
I've ever
heard.
No, I'm trying to be.
I don't need opinions. I don't need facts. I got opinions.
My opinions outweigh the facts.
I got to update my to-do list here.
To do
get radio show.
Oh yeah,
I'm feeling left out. Everybody else on the radio. What the hell happened here?
I don't know, Heath. What you waiting for, brother? I mean, you know,
They don't want me. You think cold-hearted SOB would be kind words?
Well, you keep yourself under check when you're on the show. Again, I say I got to push that record button when he doesn't
realize he's on.
Oh yeah, once we off the air, he gets on the air. Everything's all he's pretty politically correct, and he got nothing. Yeah. As soon as I hit stop and say let's get something to drink, it's let me tell you about it.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's
which is why sometimes we come back from break and you and I are laughing because of what
right. So he
exactly. I'm trying to be serious. Now.
I know you are.
You know,
good luck
there are
that.
A lot of negative Nellies out there when it comes to the Saints. Whether it's the people that write for the NFC South teams or at the national level as well, whether it's NFL Network or every single person out there believes that the Saints have no defense. None. And that now, when we talk about offense, I want to talk about positions first on defense, but when we talk about offense, they think that we've done worse on offense in getting rid of Cooks, that was the sole thing we had on our offense. So, but let me go to the defense. First thing is, my big thing during the draft, I said we needed linebackers. Everybody and his mother wanted an edge rusher. Okay. So, out of just sheer, as usually happens in the draft, somebody picks somebody who's not expected to be picked and everything tumbles around. And so we happen to be in a position to draft the defensive back, Lattimore. Really couldn't pass him up. He was higher rated than all the edge rushers that were left on the board, so it was like, it can't go anywhere else. All right. So now everybody's like, well, you know, if you can keep him healthy, you know, if his hamstring doesn't blow on the first play. Okay, again, such negativity. May I ask just a general question? If there are 32 teams in the NFL and you have, just say, two defensive cornerbacks on every team, that's 64. Are you telling me that there are 63 other DBs who will never pull their hamstring and only Lattimore will be the only guy who will pull his hamstring? I'm just asking. You know, is there no other defensive cornerback that is, you know, has none of the other ones, have they ever pulled their hamstrings? Have you ever tweaked a hamstring? I'm just saying, apparently only the Saints. All right, let's go on. So still, everybody, edge rusher. All right, so we move forward. What do we get? Offensive line. Oh, my gosh, how horrible. But all the edge rusher left. Okay, fine. So still no edge rusher. Then we keep moving on. Next pick, a safety. Safety? Why do we need a safety? We don't need a safety. We need an edge rusher. That's all I've been hearing. So the big negativity, and I had our friend who listens to us, the California Cajun, He sent me a tweet, and in his tweet, he asked me specifically this question. He said, what do y'all think is the best case scenario for Hendrickson, role player or difference maker? Because that's who we finally chose as the first defensive player who you can say could be an edge rusher. My response was, both. I think that he'll start the season as a role player. But I think as we move forward, he'll get better and better. He's young. He'll have young legs. When all these other people are petering out at game 10, 11, and 12, I think he'll be coming on. Now, Hendrickson. Well, you know, he's a small school guy. He doesn't have... Last time I checked, everybody rants and raves about Teron Armstead. Did he go to USC?
I think it's Pine Bluff.
Yeah, Arkansas Pine Bluff. That's where he went.
Yeah.
Okay. So he didn't go to, you know, Alabama. He didn't go to Florida. He didn't go to LSU. He went to some little podunky Arkansas Pine Bluff. Yeah. And last time I checked, everybody oohs and ahs. As a matter of fact, oh, we've lost Armstead. Oh, that's the end of the defense. You know? And last time I checked, the guy who's going to replace him went to a big school, Wisconsin. I'm just saying. So why be so negative about Hendrickson? You look at his numbers, and when he did play against top-notch players, he did great.
Yeah.
So to me, I think it's a disservice to say, well, you know, we got no edge rush. All right, so that's one. Let's continue on. Do you think the overall defense can improve with the additions we've made enough to recover from losing fairly? All right, let me go on. Fairly. Now I'm going to go to my good friend here, Dave.
Huh.
Dave believes that we're done because Fairley's done it.
Fairley has done it.
He's proven himself. He's proven that he can't walk away from a snack bar. He's proven that he doesn't play every down. He's proven that two teams gave up on him, but he's proven. So my suggestion was going to be this. Let's make a note to good old Loomis and say to him, hey, buddy, any guy who's out there on free agency right now who has experience, Dave wants you to sign him. Because they've done it. Even if they've been a doormat. But they've done it. Matter of fact, key word here, maybe they might re-sign the Wooden Indian.
Oh, here we go. Drink. Drink.
Time to drink. Okay. So, in reality, Onyemata, and Dave was high on Onyemata.
If you watched
the games of last year, if you tell me you did not see improvement over those 16 games that he played, then I don't know who you were watching. Because to me, as I've gone back and looked through those games, I've seen consistent improvement, alignment, hand position. I mean, I've seen everything get better and better. And now we have a new defensive – we have a real defensive line coach. Not some guy who's just occupying space and time. So perhaps better technique, better understanding of who you're playing against, better film study, will make a world of difference to Davidson, Onyemata, Rankins, all the inside players that we have. Plus, we did sign somebody, Dave, who's been there and done that. Fellow from who used it with the Seattle Seahawks.
Who? Watch him? Are you talking about the kid from
the
from
defensive
Arizona?
Tackle? No. We signed a 12-year veteran defensive tackle.
Oh. Yeah. 12-year spry. You talking about fresh legs. That's that. I'm letting you go.
Apparently. You're not,
at some point, I guess.
Dave right now has decided he's not going to listen to me at all. He's actually scanning the internet right now. Not listening. He thinks I can't see all that. You know, he's got a big-ass screen here. Who can't see it? All right. But that's okay. Whatever. But, so, you know, to think that the, you know, is the overall defense, can it improve? I believe it can. When you haven't played, you know, when you're calling people off the street to play defensive back, when you still have Bird as your Okafor, is that the guy you're trying to think of? 54.
Yeah, that's what I'm Cardinals. Trying to look at him. I can't think of.
Lord
yeah.
have mercy.
Okay.
All right. See.
He had a hell of a comeback for you. You just couldn't think of it.
Yeah, I know.
That would have been funny about 7 minutes ago.
A little too late.
That's on the internet.
Yeah. But, okay, so that was the other way. And then the final question he puts up here is, with the defocused on our run game, Mike Thomas will be a top five wide receiver per KRWKTA. Whatever the hell that is, but okay. Okay, so let me finish with the defense. Have we improved at linebacker?
Absolutely.
Okay. I believe that we've improved significantly at linebacker. Have we improved at defensive back?
Absolutely.
I believe we've improved there. Have we improved at safety?
That's questionable.
Well, really?
I mean,
Bird? Yeah. Really?
Okay. Bird.
Harper? Don't get me wrong. I love Roman Harper, but.
If you assume that Bell has improved.
Yes.
Okay, and then that Williams is just going to walk in the door and just be game ready.
And Vaccaro's going to be playing in the position that he didn't have to.
Yeah,
remember where he played last year?
He also be on the field, not suspended.
Oh, right. Okay. So, to me, I'm looking improvement at DB, improvement at safety, improvement at linebacking.
See, and I want you to finish your point, although I think we're going to run out of time by the time you get finished doing
I told you I had enough for two shows. Didn't I tell you that?
I did say that.
I told you.
But, okay, so with the safety thing, like, I've heard different people say things. I think we have a bunch of strong safeties. What I saw from Bell last year, unless he makes a big leap, I don't see a free safety. And while I don't think Bird was great, matter of fact, I didn't think he was more than average at best. A lot of the judgment was based on the fact that his contract was so big, and that's where the disappointment was. I am very excited about Williams, but he's also a rookie, and that's where you and I have a huge...
But they re-signed Bush, Rafael Bush.
And I like Bush. I like Bush.
Okay.
So after you just mentioned that, I'm going to say, yes, I do agree. I think we're better at safety because I'm sitting here. Again, it's off-season. I haven't thought about these specific things. Bird was not very good regardless of how much money he made.
And Roman Harper, bless his heart. I mean, I'm a big Roman Harper fan.
Yeah, no, and we love him to death, man.
But
the neck.
You can't expect Roman Harper to be the starting guy for the last six games of the season. Sorry, you're not going to really work there, you know? So Roman's gone. We bring back Bush, who has experience.
No, and I think Bush is as good as Bird was last year. So the answer now, after I've given it a little thought, absolutely, yes, safety is better.
Not
I forgot about Bush.
We also have Ike Harris, who's now going to be healthy.
Who?
Oh, see, I knew you were going to say that.
Who?
See, the kid that we signed from Canada last year, who got hurt early in the season, who looked really good.
Ike. His name, Ike?
Eric
Harris, sorry.
Eric. Yeah, okay, I'm like...
You know, I always say Ike Harris.
And I wasn't trying to be funny either. I wasn't trying
Eric.
To be like, who?
Eric.
No, I'm like,
Eric Harris.
Ike Harris. I'm like, because you would be like, this undrafted free agent rookie, he's going to...
No,
like,
he's not. He's a kid.
No, I know. And actually, Canada. He made a nice play when I was in camp last year.
That's right.
Man, he made a nice play in the end zone that I thought was super athletic. And, you know, like, the guy shows some promise. So,
exactly.
You know.
So, therefore, we've just gone down the line here. So every segment of the defense has improved. Now, they said, many of these people have been saying that, yeah, they got better players on defense, but they don't really have starters. These are better backup players, is what they've been saying. Now, I again disagree. Because just because Klein, for example, was a backup in Carolina, doesn't mean he can't start with the other 31 teams. because he's got Keekly in front of him. Well, I don't know anybody's going to beat Keekly out.
I agree with that, too.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that,
so I don't necessarily look at him as being a backup. Now, Teo, okay, he might be a backup, but we had no backups last year. Because if you remember, the starter we had was the Wooden Indian. Time for another drink.
Okay.
Drink. You know, so, I mean, if you think about it, just that those two, now you free up Robertson. If Nolan can get anything out of Stephon Anthony, then you got somebody else who can play. So to me, linebacker is improved. Everything is improved. The only thing you've got is, okay, fairly. If, and again, it's a big if he could have played this year like he played last year, all right, that's a loss. There's no doubt there that that's a loss. But that leaves 10 other guys on the team. And if Kikaha comes back to some degree, Okafor comes in with some semblance of being able to put in a pass rush, and then you got the young kid Hendrickson in there, that's three people edge rushing, not counting the kid that I think is going to be on development all year, the Muhammad, you know. So you got three kids, three young people out there. Okafor's not young, but you got two young people and Okafor out there who I think are much better than the Wooden Indian. Okay, time for another drink. So there you have it on defense. Now, flipping over to offense.
Well, hold up.
What?
I mean,
what?
You're not just going to monopolize the whole show with
well,
your
why not? You've got ESPN. Heath and I have this one.
Here we go.
Right, Heath? Is that the way, brother?
You know, you do.
All right, it's my turn. I'm going to have a radio show now.
All right.
So look, here's the bottom line. I don't even know where to start with that. So.
That's not the bottom line. Come on. Give us some
Saints
input.
Were better on defense, or would have been better if they just wouldn't have sustained a ridiculous amount of injuries.
I agree.
Okay, so that's number one. Number two, I think the context that most of these things, at least the ones I've seen that, you know, kind of match up with what you're talking about, it's really more of a prove it. Show us something. You know, okay, Okafor. Well, Okafor has never really lived up to his potential.
No, he has not.
Kikaha. Guy's got one more sack than he has torn ACLs.
I saw that too. That's
did you see that comment?
That's
I don't know who wrote it, but whoever wrote that, yeah, that was great. But it's true, okay? You know, do I have hope for all of these guys? Do I think that they could, you know? But most of the rankings I've seen, I really can't argue with them until we get into the season and we see something different.
And
I guess that's basically what I'm trying to say.
And that's, okay, so that's
so
where
I've seen
I'm
the Saints linebacking core ranked fourth in the NFC South. I think the Saints are going to be tremendously improved at linebacker.
Yes.
But until they actually get on the field and do something, as of right now, kind of hard to call them anything more than fourth in the NFC South, the linebacking crew.
Right. And okay, so like you were talking about defensive backs, I saw guys play in the past who are going to be back and should be healthy, and I think we will be better. As in, bro, and P.J. Williams. Now, I know P.J. Williams doesn't have a long track record, but what I did see of him in training camp and in the first couple of games, I thought he looked like he was a pretty good player.
Yeah.
Now, could he have gotten even better? I think so. So my point is maybe optimism is saying, I liked what I saw, and he's going to get better because he's young. So defensive backs, yeah, we just went over to safeties. My issue with linebacker is the same kind of thing, is that I do believe I like Klein. I've seen a lot of him playing in Carolina. And this whole idea that he didn't start last year, and I'm just parroting what Heath said, just because he played behind arguably the best linebacker in all of football doesn't mean he can't play.
Right.
So I think he's going to be a huge difference. It's the rest of the positions. We were so bad at linebacker that just because we brought guys in who were better doesn't mean that we just became great. It just means that we just vastly improved over what we had before. So that's where I'm a little shaky. Where I was excited and I felt like we could overcome the depth was defensive tackle. I do like Onyemata. I think he's a young, upstart, athletic, all the things you want to see as a backup. And then you hope, man, that guy just busts out and becomes a Dominican Sioux. But you don't know it. With Fairley, yeah, you know, if you want to say that, oh, well, he did good last year, but he's not going to do good. Well, Drew Brees did good last year. Can I just assume he's not going to do good?
Yeah, but wait. Now, Drew Brees has a long record of doing good, okay?
I
where
agree.
Fairley does not. I mean, everybody keeps bringing Fairley up as if, you know, he's this fantastic guy. He got booted from two teams. Detroit gave up on him because they could not get – him to play at the level they thought he should play, and because he took too many downs off. The Rams took him and said, okay, we're going to give you a chance. We're going to give you a short deal here. Let's see if you prove yourself. And he did better. He, you know, got his weight a little bit more under control. But he still had issues to the point that the Rams said, thanks for your time. Best of luck. Then the Saints took him on a one-year minimum deal.
The same thing the Rams did.
Well, okay, we're going to give you a chance. So all you're doing is saying, man, he had one great year with the Saints. You can't compare him to Breeze. That's
well,
not the
okay.
same.
Maybe that was an exaggerated point just to simply say, if it fits your agenda, he's out and he's injured. Well, he wasn't going to do good anyway. I just don't think that.
I didn't say he wasn't going to do good. I said that you're counting, just like you're saying, hey, you got to show me, I have to see the season. I'm going to say the same thing. You showed me one season. Okay.
Okay.
There are lots
that
of players
one
who play
still
one-
more than what Henderson or that Onyemata or, I mean, or even Rankins. He outplayed Rankins last year. He outplayed Onyemata. Again, I understand what you're saying. I'm just, you know what, and this boils down to, I mean, we could sit here and probably make a good show and just debate over, I just look at it and say, I want to see it. I saw him play well last year. And I feel like we could build on that.
Okay.
I didn't see – I like all the athleticism, but, man, Onyemata still has a long way to go.
Okay. So now you've seen the other three NFC South teams play because we play them twice a year. So you saw last year two games of Carolina, two games of Tampa, and two games of Atlanta. Now, do you believe that those three teams have a vastly better defense than the New Orleans Saints?
So here's what's funny. I ended up having to do the show last week by myself because of scheduling issues, and I brought this point up.
Yes, I know.
It's hard to argue with that garbage defense we fielded last year and we won seven games. It's
That's
hard
correct.
To argue with that.
That's
correct. Are we better on defense than we were at the end of last year? Yes, we are. It's just hard to go to your boss and say, hey, boss, we were garbage last year. We're a little bit better, so we're going to be a better team. But I do get that point, and it's hard to argue. It's like, hey, if we can win with that garbage defense.
Did we beat Tampa Bay last year, or did we lose two games to Tampa Bay? Did we beat Atlanta last year, or did we lose two games to Atlanta? Did we beat North Carolina? I always say that. Did we beat Carolina last year, or did we lose two games to Carolina?
I know we lost Atlanta twice. I think we split with the other guys, right?
I think we split with the other two, lost Atlanta twice. And one of those games to Atlanta, again, if we didn't have guys playing from Mike Miley playground, you know,
whatever
we
that
had
means.
A chance. You don't know Mike
that's
Miley.
That's in New Orleans.
Okay.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Or is
Yats.
It Metairie,
yes.
actually.
Yeah, it's out in Metairie.
Technically.
Miley. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Delta Playground. Okay. All right. Anyway. I don't know. What kind of playground they had? The Big Oak Trailer Playground?
Oh, yeah. So you did listen to the show.
You
know, Holy crap. You listened to my ESPN show.
I listened to everything.
Oh,
okay. So here you go. My point is, just like you said, if we were 7-9 with the players that we had or the people who just stood there like wooden Indians, another trick for you.
Okay.
If that was 7-9, then with legitimate NFL players at the positions, you don't think that we're better?
I guess what I'm saying is I kind of agree with one of the things that you didn't agree with. Is I want to say yeah. We got better players on defense. We're healthier on defense. That should mean we should win more games.
We have a better linebacker coach. Would you agree that we have a better linebacker coach?
Absolutely.
We have a better
defensive
line coach.
Optimistic about.
I mean, I'm just talking about if you just look at the schemes. Dennis Allen had to play whatever he could, depending on who was healthy for that game. Okay. And like I say to you, I mean, when you have Webb as your starting cornerback, you got problems. Okay.
And Sterling Moore.
And Sterling. Yeah.
No, okay. The bottom line is.
So now he might be able to actually play the defensive scheme that he really wants to play. Plus, you got two coaches who will actually coach up your players. We don't need to coach up Robertson. I mean, he showed last year he's a player. No doubt about it. Linebacker. Right? Okay. Stupar's a backup linebacker, but he can play. He's backup. Okay. So depending on your scheme, maybe you want four or five linebackers at goal line. He can play. Okay. Then you pick up Klein. He can play. You got Stephon Anthony. Everybody's still wishing and hoping for. You know, you're talking about show me.
Hoping.
Well, this is the guy I'd say show me. A matter of fact, I have more faith in Anzalone making it than I do Stephon Anthony, to tell you the truth. You know? Yeah. So I'm just saying to you that my thing is that all of these people, and let me tell you, I'm happy. I'm happy that they're so negative. I want them to think that we suck, I mean, immensely. So that when we're 13-0, I want to hear them cry about how we still suck. Okay? When we reach that point, well, because you know, what was it? Wasn't a guy's idea? Oh, if we dream about being 13 wins, right? Wasn't
yeah,
that
the, right?
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so when we do have the 13 wins, I want to hear Triplet. I want, this is for you, Triplet. You know, I never met you in person, all right? But I bet you're going to listen to this show. When we win 13 games, when we win 10 games, I want to hear you tell me about how bad our defense is. Okay? Because I really legitimately believe we can win 10.
The Saints could have won 10 games last year.
Well, and that's what I'm saying.
That's the crazy part about it.
Here's the thing I want to argue with you about all kind of things.
Well, why don't you?
That's the one thing that's just hard to overcome.
Okay, three consecutive seasons of 7-9. Okay. Look, if the Saints don't have the number of injuries they had, even if they don't have all-stars at every position, they got to have some of the best depth in the NFL at some of these positions.
Absolutely.
We stockpiling guys that, you know.
Our DB list alone.
Yeah, man. I mean, okay. But at the same time, you got to see it. And then Unger's hurt.
Yep.
Armstead's not, he's gone.
Yep.
You know, it starts again, right?
Cleaner's playing tight end.
LB's on crutches again or whatever. You know, and so at this point, I'm just like, man, we just got to get to the season. I got to see it. You know what I'm saying? I have all the optimism in the world, though. I mean, really, the Saints were this freaking close to falling into 10 wins last year, despite all of the injury issues they had on defense. So can they do it? Absolutely. They almost did it last year. Are they improved? I think so. But I got to see it.
Yeah, and that's where I think I am, is that you are so optimistic, and it's like, hey, man, everything goes the right way, right. Yeah, you know. And as a Saints fan at heart, it's hard to sit here and say, well, let's talk about everything that might not happen right. But the thing about it is a lot of stuff has to go right, and a lot of guys got to be able to overcome injuries and, you know, a Kakaha type or even a Okafor, you know, to bring that pass rush. You got to hope that Onyemata, while he did show some improvement, is he going to take a big enough step to be a difference maker? So there's a lot of stuff that if you're optimistic, you say, oh, man, you just name them off. And here's the one thing that I think is lost when we talk about Okafor and we talk about Onyemata and we talk about Williams as a rookie. We're not the only team in the NFL that's fielding guys that are teams that aren't loaded with superstars. Right. You know, there's –
right.
Every team has guys who were like, man, that guy's going to be a weakness, but we couldn't fill it in the offseason. We couldn't fill in the draft, but we have to go into the season with that guy at defensive end or that guy at receiver or whatever it is. So there's always going to be some sort of mismatch.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, we hit the defense, and I think Tomas was right. He has two shows worth of stuff. We're almost 40 minutes into the show, and we haven't even touched on offense. So what I think we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. We can come back with some final thoughts. And then we were talking about...
I have lots of thoughts. I don't have I'm infinite in my
infinite thoughts. And then we were talking about getting back together on Thursday and doing another show. So we might as well do it now because everybody else is doing 10-minute shows.
Not us, baby.
40 minutes, baby. It's not even...
show.
Well,
this is the show.
The show. Anyway, listen, guys.
Take a break. We'll be back.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
All right, we're back. The BS and Beer Podcast crew here live at the SEC Sports Pub.
What an Indian.
We just had a marathon review of the defense. A lot of stuff that needs to fall in place, but there's a lot of potential there. And I'm still excited. I know that injuries have caused at least me some apprehension now. I'm worried about different things, the offensive line, depth on defense. But I still think that there's some good young players, and maybe it's back to the old Saints fan, you know, that you just, oh, that new guy is going to be the one to save the day. I don't know, but we are only like a week away to start seeing – who's going to solve the problems and if they're up for the task. Yeah. So
what was that yesterday? What are we, 25 days from the Saints playing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that today or yesterday?
I think it was yesterday.
So 24 days.
24
days. 24 days did they take the field.
I'm glad you told me that today so I have one less data instead of telling me yesterday.
There you go.
All right, so so Tomas, since you've done it so eloquently, offense. Go ahead and give us your Tomas rant about the offense.
Well, it's not a rant.
I think he's not been out of shape about the offense. He's just mad at people talking bad about his defense.
Yeah, I'm just I feel that when your own reporter from your team disses your team the way that Triplett did, it irks me. It's not that you have to be a homer. And I understand your position saying, well, you know, you have to show me. These people haven't played. They're all college players, whatever. I understand that. But at the same time, what about Cam Jordan? Are you saying to me that Cam Jordan is not going to put pressure on from the left side? Are you telling me that Vaccaro is not going to play some substantial
role,
thank you, on our I mean, it's not like we have 11 rookies playing back there or 11 people who've never played in professional football before, you know? So anyway, that was my thing. On offense, here's the thing. You know, it's the business of entertainment. I mean, I understand that there's a business in entertainment. Just like I do my commentary show and I stir the pot. I do it on purpose because I know that gets people involved in the show. Okay, so you stir the pot. Hey, you know, how happy is Ingram going to be with Peterson in the backfield with him? Hey, let's rank the starting running backs in the NFL. And who do they rank? Peterson for the Saints as the starting running back. So, ooh, how does Mark Ingram feel about that? Ooh, you know, there could be dissension on the team. Ooh, you know. Okay, fine. You want to sell newspapers or whatever, your web page, whatever, fine. You know, here's to me, again, if I look on offense, yes, we've lost Unger. Definitely a hit. Yes, we've lost Armstead. Definitely a hit. But again, you go back and look at last year's record. And last year's record, Unger did not play every game. He played most of them, but not every game. Armstead played one-third of the games. I don't think we had a problem with our offense last year, even though I hear people, little dice comes like, well, you know, we scored less than 25 points in 8 games, and the only team, you know, the Patriots didn't do that for just for 5 games. I don't give a rat's rump about the Patriots. Okay? And, you know, if I can win a game, I'll go back to Coach Mora when we had Morton Anderson who was going to go into the Hall of Fame. How many games were, just keep us in the games, boy, at the end of the game, Morton come out there, kick a 3-pointer, we're good to go. Hey, we won.
Yeah, but we don't have 12 to 10 kind of defense.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is that we don't have to win by 50 points in a game. We just have to win.
Okay, but here's the thing, and he's going to make the point that you just brought up, Lil Dice making a point that I would make up about the offense, is that there are too many games, while our offense was ranked number one in yards, there are too many games where they were not productive enough. And now, okay, look, maybe I should let you make the argument that, well, the defense let us down a lot of occasions, and you can't have an offense when your defense is not very good that's only putting up less than 20 points.
So the Super Bowl. We have the Super Bowl. And Atlanta comes out, and the New England defense let New England down. Because it was 28-3 last time I checked, where Atlanta was ahead. Wasn't that true?
Yes.
Yeah, and the New England defense apparently sucked royally.
Wait, do you mean that Atlanta blew a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl?
Apparently so.
Is that what you're saying?
They
didn't even have a wooden Indian on their defense.
Another drink. Or the freeze kind of.
Apparently, yeah. You know.
The freeze loss. But anyway, please, we digress.
I'm just saying to you that, again, I go back to our Super Bowl year that we won. Did we have a top 10 defense? The answer is no. We did not have a top 10 defense when we played in the Super Bowl. We had an average middle of the pack.
Regardless of the ranking, it was an average defense. Yeah. It's just a big play defense at the time.
Well, that was the thing.
That was the thing.
Opportunistic.
The big play. Exactly right. The turnovers. Now, if you say to me, our offense let us down, well, if you expect the offense to win 16 of the 16 games, then you're going to be letting yourself down, because there's no NFL team is going to win 16 games on their offense. I go back to the San Diego Chargers with Fouts. How many games did they score 40 points and still lose?
You're right. You don't have to go that far back to just simply say, I don't care how good your team is. If you have a great defense, you can't expect them to hold every team they play to 10 points and win 13-10.
Now,
at some point, your offense has to show
up. It was one team that I would say did that. That was the Ravens, the year that they won with Dilfer at quarterback.
There's always exceptions, right?
Right. Okay. Right, but there's an exception. That, exactly right. And they still score. They would still win games because their kicker would come out and kick four or five field goals. So they still won 12-something or 15-something. Okay? But I'm just saying to you, yes, you know, you can't expect Breeze to throw for 10,000 yards and win every game. It's not going to happen. So now you look at our offense. Last year, I think our – to me, the issue we had on offense last year was when Ingram went down, and again, bless his heart, I love Tim Hightower, but there was definite difference in the style of running and the way he played. He played with heart. He pushed hard, and there's no doubt about it. Same thing can be said for me, my position on offense that I have a problem with, and that's tight end. Okay. I know we got the, we have the number 16 tight end being paid number 16 money. Okay. And that's all well and good.
You don't hear that. You got an opinion, but you don't hear all those stats.
But to me, I mean, here we brought in Kamara. Okay. You got to show me on the field. I'm just telling you, Kamara is going to show you on the field.
Based on what? Okay. That's the point, though. I want to be optimistic, but I have, look, because he was drafted well. I mean, played well in college, potential. We got to see it.
Okay.
And that's the only difference. Is,
okay, well, somebody showed us what they could do last year, so Cadet. So you would pick Cadet over Kamara right now without seeing anything at all.
You know why? Because I know what Cadet is.
What Cadet
is.
Will do you. 2 yards and a cloud of dust.
And I am willing to take, yes, I am willing to take the chance that Kamara is going to be better. Yeah. So, but that don't mean that he's going to be better. It just means that potential-wise.
Okay. So – potential-wise, we got nothing. You know, we have, if we look at the actuality of it then, in Mr. Romero's eyes, the actuality of it is that, okay, whoever plays left tackle for the Saints on offense is going to get their groceries handed to them on every single play. Luckily for us, he'll sign with Detroit, so we don't have to worry about it.
Style.
Yeah. But, you know, so we have nothing out there on the left tackle. Even if we move poor Pete over to left tackle, then that leaves us a void of guard.
I saw Pete can do it left tackle, and I thought it was serviceable.
Pete can do it. I think Ramchek will take it, but if he don't, we got a backup option there.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that if you scoop Pete over, then who do you have at guard?
I don't want to think about that. Remember last time we had a show, we talked about these things, and I got all
frustrated. Well, of course, the left tackle we picked, dummy. I mean, who you think we got at guard?
They put him in at guard. Absolutely. It makes perfect sense to me. All right. I understand that the majority of people are going to say, agree with Dave. You haven't showed me anything at the NFL level, so therefore I can't make a decision because you haven't played at the NFL level. You played at Tennessee, big whoopee-doo, the SEC. Yeah, that's a weak division in college
Come
football.
Come on, like, look, nobody wants to hear that.
I believe that Tennessee beat a number of teams.
I'm not sure how we got to this because I think all three of us are in agreement that the offense isn't really a concern going into
the
season.
Well, because
I mean,
we got rid of Cooks with an S. And, you know, and so we brought up this old has-been beat-up guy named, what's his name, Gin? Oh, no, that's a drink. Gin, right? That would be
drink.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, well, he's not a wooden Indian.
Right.
No.
Right.
There's your drink. Okay. So.
Or a really fast wooden Indian.
Oh, a really fast wooden Indian.
He's got wooden Indian hands,
maybe. There you go. Bocephus Witherspoon. But, okay. I don't think we have that much of a problem on offense. But I would say this. I don't believe that Breeze is going to throw for the same number of yards that he has in the past, simply because I don't think he has to. No. I don't think there's going to be dissension between Peterson and Ingram. If anything, like I've said before, I've never been a big Ingram fan. I think he's a good back, but most of all, what I appreciate about Mark Ingram is that I truly believe he's a team player, and I think he's going to do whatever's best for the team. And so if Peterson is hot and he's got a good game going, I don't think there's going to be any dissension on the – he'll be upset that he's not doing it, but I don't think he's going to be a negative effect on the team. And so I go back. I think that Ginn will stretch the field. So I don't think we lose anything with that. I also think that Ginn runs more patterns off the receiver routes than Cooks did. So,
yeah, he does.
Yeah.
There's no think. He absolutely does.
So that's another difference maker, I think, for Breeze. So to me, I don't see any issue here except the offensive line. If you're going to look at the offensive line, now, like I told you, we brought in this guy, and now his name escapes me, something or other, Labrius, guy who was a starting center at Washington Redskins.
Oh.
And he's been taking the snaps with the first line.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might.
Well, and Unger might not even be an issue anyway. They're saying that Unger's going to supposedly make it back anyhow.
All right. But even if we had to go for the first couple of games without Unger, Unger's going to be back, you know, at some point.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's the issue is Armstead. But again, as I said to you, Armstead was out for two-thirds of the season anyway.
Right.
So maybe.
And I don't know that he was ever at 100% for the 30
exactly
mid-line,
right. Exactly right. So maybe, you know, this kid can, you know, I don't know. We'll see. But to me, I go back to we were 7-9 last year with people hurt on offense with no defense, and we were 7-9. So.
I tell you what, here's the thing. Cooks, like, and I said this long before. I like the idea. The Saints, I believe, are going to run the ball. They're going to go to the quick passing game. It's where Kamara, who, while I'm saying I want to see it, I'm really optimistic and hopeful that he can improve that position as the satellite back. I think that you have Peterson, who I think he will be effective, but at 32 years old, I don't think he needs to be in the main role. I think that Ingram needs to have that role, and Peterson, we need to, I don't know if save him up, but
I think,
keep him healthy for the playoffs.
I honestly don't think anybody other than the writers think that Peterson is the lead back here.
And, you know, he might have
I don't think
games.
He is. I think Ingram's the lead back. I think Peterson's come in to add what he can add, but I don't think they brought in Peterson thinking, well, we got to upgrade our running back position. This guy Ingram just ain't getting the job. You know,
right.
I don't think it's that it at all.
No. And I think that Peterson has the potential still to have some monster games where you'll get people who may not really understand the whole dynamics. Oh, why isn't he starting? Well, mainly because if we start him and we gave him the ball 20 times a game by week 10, he would probably be ineffective.
Done.
Yeah. So let Ingram go in there, take that heavy workload. Let Peterson have those goal line carries. Let him get that first down for you. Get his 6, 8, 10 carries a game. And then as the season progresses, hopefully we in a position to get in the playoffs, and that's when Peterson can help.
Well, I think we really have to depend on our backfield. And again, we're leaving out this kid that I really like, that I'm looking forward. He hasn't shown us anything, really. A little glimpse here and there. I want to see what Lasko can do.
I'm with you on that. And
you
here's,
know,
let me
because
say
I
this.
Think he was the steal last year until he got hurt. You know, so if we have him, we have Peterson, we have Ingram, and we have Kamara. I mean, that's four tools in the backfield that Breeze would be salivating on which one of those guys.
And
especially
not,
because we have no tight end.
Well, the thing is, though, there's not enough. I don't want to see you two getting upset now. There's not enough balls for all those guys, but a guy like Lasko.
You would know about that.
There's not enough balls to go around for all those fellas. Lasko's going to wait his turn. You know, you got a guy like Peterson that he might play one season with us. And then Lasko, I still think if someone gets dinged up, we'll start seeing him. Because like you said, potential-wise, same thing as Onyemata. He has all the skills. And, man, I saw things in training camp.
Yep.
I saw him run over some guys. I saw him run around guys.
You know what's even more important than that, though? Lasko, if he can stay healthy this year, is going to help the defense start a lot more drives defending at the opponent's 15-yard line.
Absolutely.
That's correct.
Instead, because he's a hell of a gunner.
But he is a guy, I hadn't thought much about him with all the, you know, Peterson and this whole, but man, I do like him. And the Saints were easing him into the lineup.
Yes, they
got a series a game. Maybe there was one point, I think the last game he played, he had two series. He went in there, got a carry. There was a pass. He did a little pass pro. He made his impact in that small little thing, and I think the Saints were easy men just to make sure it wasn't too much for him to handle.
Yep.
And then he got injured.
Yeah.
And so I think that he is a guy that there's a future for him.
I believe so.
I tell you what, guys.
I'm not finished yet.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Well, you are never finished. At some point, I just got to cut you off. And that's hard for somebody like me to say that. I mean, Tomas is the only guy who can out-talk me. But well done. We decided during the break, we're going to go ahead, put this show out. Then we got schedules at Meetup. We're going to get back together on Thursday, and then we're going to get you another show. It may only be 30 or 40 minutes. No, never mind. If Tomas showing up, we'll cut him off at an hour. We also have Chris Landry who's going to join us on that show. So for Heath Elson-San and Tomas Mauricio, this is Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast. We'll talk to you later in the week.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists. writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.